I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Padres assistant general manager Josh Stein joining us. So, if you didn't know,
how are you?
Be careful with what you say
good
right
seeing
now.
You,
it's
boys.
Good to
yeah,
see you,
Josh. Absolutely, welcome. Welcome
back for another season.
Yeah,
brass tacks.
Let's get after it.
You were
spring training.
You know, brass tacks. AJ was up for a contract extension. And did it pop in your mind, hey, if he goes, I could be the guy. It's the vice president type situation, right? Like, you'd be crazy not to.
No, I don't think about that stuff. I'm thrilled with the fact that AJ's going to be here a long time.
We were, too.
It's been awesome to work alongside for over a decade now, and getting to ride shotgun with a general manager like him has been a thrill. And I know it's brought a lot of excitement to the game of baseball in San Diego, and I'm not thinking about those things.
That's how Ben feels about me. He's been riding shotgun for all these years. I got to ask you too, man. I was kind of making the point earlier in the show this morning. Every day, you know, we've only played three spring training games, but every day it's, oh my God, look at these guys out of the Padres bullpen. Prospects, right?
Yeah.
And then you see these lists like, oh, Padres are dead last in prospects. Number one, we know what you've traded. You guys know what you've traded. Yeah. You know that's going to whittle that down. Personally, how does that feel when it comes out? Do you look at number 30 in prospect ranking as, oh, here's a challenge for us?
Yeah, I mean, I think on some levels, you know, you respect the fact that those writers and people are putting a lot of time and energy into ranking players and creating those lists. At the same time, I think we have a good sense of where our system lies. It's not what it was in the past.
Sure.
It's not a top five, top probably 10 system in the game. At the same time, we got a lot of players down there. We have a lot of arms. We have some young position players that we're very excited about. I think our scouting group, Chris Kemp, both domestically and internationally, has shown the ability to bring players in. And then I think we've done a great job developing players over the last few years. So I think you look up and there's a lot of players we're excited about on those backfields. And
that's really all that matters at the end of the day, is this list is not going to sway anyone. Here's what I do know, and I think we'll all agree. Come end of July, your phone will be ringing. Somebody will be calling you to ask you.
That's exactly right. Yeah. At the end of the day, you know, both your ability to get players to your major league roster and to impact your major league team, and then what other teams are willing to give up. And I think we've shown that over the years, that other teams, general managers, scouts, are interested in Padre prospects, and that's what's given us the ability to go out and, you know, make the acquisitions we have at the deadline.
Talking to Padres assistant general manager Josh Stein, and I'll ask this in more of a hypothetical sense as opposed to specific players, but we were talking earlier about guys with options, guys without options, and the potential roster crunch that comes at the end of spring training in about a month. How much planning are you doing right now in terms of, like, figuring out what room you may have for certain pitchers, starters, bullpen guys at the end of spring training, and what you're going to do about it, you know, if a good problem comes to hand and you've got too many good pitchers on your hand at the end of spring?
Yeah, I think you nailed it at the end there. That's the good problem to have, and that's almost inevitably what happens when we get out of here. We start playing games. We start, the competitions, you know, go on. Those questions tend to be answered for themselves. And so it's something we're well aware of. We know the roster situations, the outs that, you know, when we sign minor league free agents like Walker Buehler or Ty France, they actually get collectively bargained outs at the end of spring training. So, you know, all those variables are at play. But, you know, as we've seen over many years, you can never have too much pitching. And you come to camp and those competitions tend to take care of themselves.
Yeah, and you got a new skipper at the helm. He's got a lot to deal with. He's got a lot to deal with if things like ABS and challenges and you know, CBA meetings and everything else. I mean, he's got a lot to deal with WBC. It's quite a first camp for a rookie manager, Craig Stammen.
100%. But, you know, I think, A, Craig's up to the task, just the person that he is and how he kind of takes in information, takes in any kind of challenge. So I think that's A. B, that this is just kind of what spring training's become. I mean, I think, like, we've talked about it a lot over the years, whether it's WBC, whether it's issues with labor, whether it's, you know, infectious diseases.
Sure,
yeah. You know, spring trainings over the last 5 or 6 years have not been quote-unquote normal. And, you know, I think that really one of the strengths that Craig has is his ability to just take things in and, you know, deal with them and approach them in a reasonable manner.
And the conviction with which, AJ, you guys, your team, made that decision that Craig Stammen was the right guy, I'm not going to say I was surprised at all, because you can't make a manager hire. You have to be convicted about it. And he really, really was. And all we've heard from the players and guys that have played with him in the past is the command of the room.
Yeah.
When did you guys know? And I know he was helping out with the interview process. It got flipped, and he ended up interviewing and getting the job. When did you guys kind of have that inkling of like, huh, maybe we have him on the wrong side of the table?
I think AJ's talked about this
for a while,
you know, publicly a little bit. Pretty quickly after Craig joined us in a non-playing capacity,
yep.
we started to see the same things we saw as a player. You know, so the ability to command the room, the kind of common sense ability to take in a lot of information and, you know, help problem solve. And, you know, yeah, there are leader of men traits and characteristics that certain people have in more measure than others. And, you know, I think Craig's always had that ability to not only command the respect of players, but also of, you know, really any room that he's in. And it became, in that process, a pretty easy choice for us to, you know, once he was open-minded to it,
sure,
to kind of advance him in the process.
Got one more before we let you go.
Yeah.
AJ paid you a nice compliment recently, and I've heard this from other places. I said, Josh is the best in the business when it comes to dealing with the complex financial aspects of contracts,
man,
luxury taxes, and everything. How does that process work in terms of, like, making the budgets all work together and putting a roster on the field?
Yeah, I mean, it's that was a nice compliment that AJ gave me. And, you know, I think at the end of the day, you know, we're always in kind of lockstep in communication with ownership about, you know, what our budgets are going to be. There's different ways to account for player salaries, in the sense that you're looking at it through a lens of competitive balance taxes, cash. There's an LRD, labor relations kind of accounting.
Right over my head.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. These are all the elements. And,
LRD,
and so I think the biggest aspect of it is just being communicative, you know, obviously with AJ and what we have to spend, and then with ownership, and trying to make sure everyone's on the same page.
Awesome.
Josh, really appreciate it. Bottom line is you're going to get $20 to do the show today, but you're going to get a mutual option.
That's right.
For $100 to do the show tomorrow.
And a buyout
if we don't bring you back to do the show tomorrow.
What do you got?
I have nothing. I have to run it by my wife.
We could escalate that bio based on how you do today, too.
Right, some incentives.
God.
Incentive clauses.
Oh,
I like that as well. Josh, as always, thank you so much. Love
terrible.
That quarter zip as
Thanks,
well.
Guys.
That's fantastic.
I'm Sarah Austin Jeunesse, The Moth's executive producer and longtime host of The Moth Podcast. Every week, we share true stories told live and without notes by real people from all walks of life. Stories about disastrous haircuts, May-December romances, photographing Pluto, fighting for justice, and so much more. Some stories make you laugh, some make you think, and many stay with you long after they're told. Discover the power of story. Follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.